Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
So we're back today, the Winona pod, and I don't know.
Winona Wednesday,
and today we're talking, well, it's funny, I'd never heard of this film until the last podcast where we looked it up.
And that's amazing. I thought you knew them all.
Yeah, no, I think I fell off, this is where I fell off. The,
yes, fair.
The thing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the Winona train.
The Winona train. It was hard to, you know, keep up, I guess, and you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. She stopped making interesting films, so that,
right? Yeah, that was so there wasn't the impetus to keep up anymore. Like, oh, it's not going.
Yeah,
well.
I got to see the, you know, her small role in such and such film. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah,
yeah, which sucks. Mm-hmm. But so we're talking about the film 10. It's basically the 10 commandments done in 10 scenes or 10 skits. As hosted, like almost on a stage by Paul Rudd and his wife, kind of in the background.
Yeah, his
the and he has on these like slabs all the, you know, the biblical Ten Commandments, all this. So it's divided in that order, mm-hmm. starting from "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It was the first one, and then that's the so okay yeah. This Winona's in this, but she's in two or three of the...
Yeah, I feel like she pops up briefly in another one, maybe. And then is fully in another... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, of the skits. So all the skits are intertwined or whatever.
Yeah.
And this film is a comedy, mm-hmm. apparently. And it's done by the same guy that made, you know, Wet Hot American Summer. And it's Rick... What's his name? Marino?
Oh, Ken Marino's Ken in Marino. It, but David Wayne directed it.
And yeah, Ken Marino also produced it. I think he co-wrote it.
Yeah, written by... It's like the guys from The State, right? Oh, it's just Ken Marino like
party,
and David Wayne
the Party Down
it.
Crew. You have Boyle from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, isn't it? Rashida Jones is in there as a waitress.
She's a producer of this as well.
Ooh, my God.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. Okay. So like this was, I like obviously just watched this. It was my first time watching it. I maybe laughed out loud once.
Fair.
And then I don't know. It wasn't funny. It was more like, oh, really? It's like the, you know, the
like,
cutting.
Ooh, you went there.
Yeah. You tried, but this is not, what kind of laugh are you expecting from this? Mm-hmm. Do you want to, was it cringe? It was all cringe maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It was all cringe.
Yeah, it was pretty cringe. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so this is 2007. I mean, I think way back in the 80s, I was like, it's 1980. That's what the jokes were. Yeah. 2007, I guess it still was. Or like, I don't know. Basically, it's built on a lot of rape jokes.
There was a lot of rape jokes.
Yeah.
A lot of like inappropriate, like weird. There was like that... Seth Cohen or whatever from, he was in The Ground, the boy in The Ground who couldn't move.
That
he made
Adam Brody.
Adam Brody. Sorry, his character name is Seth Cohen in the Orange County or whatever.
Oh,
the OC.
The OC. Right. Okay. Fair enough. I know him. I think from Gilmore Girls.
Oh, Gilmore true. Girls. Oh, David Grogowski.
Good job.
Anyway, so he was, but he made it like a, they make some sort of joke about how he like did something, he like fucked his underage niece or something.
Oh yeah, something like, oh, I didn't know she was that young and related. I didn't know she was related. Yeah, it was
that closely related or something. Yeah, that was cool. So stupid.
Yeah, like, so it starts from the first skit.
That was the first skit, yeah.
Yeah.
And Winona plays his fiance.
Right.
So this guy, whatever his real name is, Adam Brody. Yeah. He jumps out of the airplane without wearing a parachute. And this is for, yeah, thou shall not have no other gods before me, I guess. They really loosely relate the
I think it's because he becomes famous. And so then they start saying that he's a god. So I think it's like, don't think that you're a god. I don't know. I guess.
And then he ends up washed up still in the ground and nobody cares about him, I guess, ultimately.
Yeah. So I guess that's the moral.
And also read instructions. I think that was, I thought that was a thing. Like,
so John Hamm is the one who goes, oh, he forgot his parachute. And Winona's like, are you kidding? And he's like, I never joke about these things or something. And then you never see John Hamm again.
No, that was it. That was it. That was too bad. I wish we saw more of him.
So yeah, basically the story is that he jumps out of the plane and then he like is still alive, but hammered into the ground and he can't be taken out because he'll die.
Yes. And, you know, he has 15 minutes of fame. People are obsessed with him. And he has there's a reality show about him. Or he's on a sitcom, actually. And they made a set surrounding his whole body. And then that was...
I mean, the premise for that could have been funny. It just wasn't particularly...
They just didn't have great jokes. Yeah.
They also, I don't know, like... Yeah, his character just became so gross that you were like,
eh. There's nothing really... Winona's character is named Kelly.
That's right. So yeah, Winona in that one, she was fine.
Yeah, and she starts falling in the skit for the reporter who's reporting on this.
Oh, who seems like a big jerk. I think it's just because that actor plays jerks all the time.
Mm. There's a really funny line, though, he does see at the end, and it's about Adam Brody. He's like, 3 years later or whatever, he's like... I used to like him and now I hate him.
Yeah, that was a good that was funny. That was fair. He never seemed to like him though. He seemed to be antagonistic towards him when he first started interviewing him. And then it was like Winona seemed to be falling for him. He was also a jerk to Winona. There's a lot of like guys being jerks to women or lots of rape jokes in this, which I think is just where I'm like,
yeah, it's not okay.
Some aspects of this movie could have been funny, but they just like took it to weird.
Like places. I'm gonna skip ahead, but to the prison.
Oh, the prison one.
Meeps was in the background watching it and she's like, that is just not okay. And I'm like, no, this is not okay.
Yeah, it was the worst. That was the worst one. Yeah. It just kept digging deeper
kept
into
going
it.
And going.
And like explicitly saying things like, so yeah, okay. The premise of that one is, oh, I'm trying to remember. Ken Marino goes to jail.
I'll find it.
Why can't I think of the actor's name? There's so many.
So that is Thou Shall Not Covet Thy Neighbor's Wife.
Yes.
So this is all like.
But I need to know the name of the actor.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. He's someone. He's Children's Hospital. He's lots of things. Rob Corddry. There we go. So yeah, Rob Corddry and Ken Marino. And I guess Ken Marino has been in jail at this point already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insinuated that like he's become the bitch or whatever of his like roommate in prison. Probably they don't call them roommates, but you know, whatever your prison mates,
cellmate.
Yeah, there you go. So then, yeah, Rob Corddry's like, oh, I want you to be my bitch or whatever.
Yeah,
I
think but that's then the it gets more graphic. They don't just say bitch. They say exactly what he wants to do, and like he doesn't
say ass rape a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they say, at one point, I think Rob Corddry says, like, if I can't have you as long as someone is non-consensually ass raping you, then it's okay. It was just the worst. It was absolutely. Whew. Yeah.
So that was number six.
Yeah. That one was the one that I was like, oh, I thought, you know, there was a chance that this could come back if one of them was funny. And then that one just went way too far. But yeah, so what I was going to say about the news reporter that was with Winona, he seemed like a jerk, and like they were like about to kiss when he was going on air, and then he like pushed her down to the ground because they were coming on and like the news was coming on and he was an anchor and he was very serious about his job and his fame.
Threw her to the ground, shoved her away.
Yeah. So a lot of unlikable dudes in this.
Okay, the second skit was... So, yeah, Paul Rudd is introducing all these things, all the commandments. And the second one is, thou shall not take the Lord's name in vain. But he's introducing number two. One thing I did find was funny, because I have a, I'm just a moron. But, he's like, funny. Two, deuce, poop. And he just said poop. And I thought that was funny. I wrote down poop.
Yeah.
But anyway, this one is, thou shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And it takes place in Mexico. I don't know what copy you watched, but I didn't have subtitles for the Mexican skit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was just kind of interpreting what I saw. But I also, kind of picked up in some Spanish. But
that was really in Spanish. That whole, skit was.
Yeah, well, I know, I don't know. Anyway.
I did have subtitles, so yes, I knew what they said.
And then I read about the scene later. I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, who is it that plays Jesus?
Gretchen. Oh, no, that's the other one. Jesus, I don't know who Jesus is.
Okay, I do know who. But so what were you going to say about Gretchen?
Gretchen Mol or whatever?
Yeah, she's the
librarian.
Why am I so terrible at these guys' names? Justin Theroux. Justin Theroux.
Oh, yes.
Plays Jesus.
So she goes to Mexico, meets Jesus. Falls in love.
So she's a librarian. I wrote down, the very first note I wrote was librarian virgin, of course. They're just she's a nerdy librarian. Nobody's had sex with her, of course. She's naturally, 30 something, whatever. And I'm just librarian stereotypes. Anyways.
Soft sore spot there.
Yeah. It was whatever. This was one of the maybe not as terrible. I don't remember. It just wasn't funny either. It's she discovers he can walk on water and is like, what the heck? Are you that Jesus? Because his name is Jesus. And then he's like, yeah, but I'm here. Oh, yeah. I guess it's like he must be there for the, not apocalypse, but I don't know these.
I don't know.
These some religious happened. Thing. Wow. I watched this a week ago and I'm just my brain is I don't remember what happened.
There are a lot of skits.
That's the other thing. That there's 10 of them. So many different skits. Can you remember what happens? But yes, what do you call it when everybody goes up into heaven? What is, there's some people are left on earth and some people go.
Purgatory? What do you
mean? No.
What
do
you
mean?
Heaven.
The rapture. The rapture. He's there rapture. To do the rapture. That's what he's supposed to do. And he's but he's just biding his time. So it's basically saying Jesus is kind of just
chilling out,
being a 30-something year old dude just hanging out, enjoying life. And then he never raptures. That's basically the whole thing.
That
they
one,
fall in love. And it's cool, whatever.
So the third one is thou shall not murder. And we know this one is, this is also a stupid one. Where the doctor, played by, what's his
Ken
name?
Ken Marino.
He's like,
I knew.
He's like Dr. Nick, basically. He's like the living version of Dr. Nick. So he leaves the surgical scissors inside the patient, and the patient dies. And he said he did it because it was a goof.
Yeah.
So he was in court. They're like, did you do it? He's like,
yeah, but it was a goof.
As a goof.
Right. Yeah. So this was one of the funnier ones. I can tell you're laughing.
It's so
it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
That's what I feel like these guys go for is it's
the
so
one
stupid,
funny thing on IMDb, funny. Under goofs.
Yeah.
This is listed as the guy drops the surgical scissors.
Really?
Because it is a goof.
That's somebody's joke.
Yeah,
that someone's inside joke.
Yeah.
About the thing. That's funny.
I thought that was funny.
when it starts, so this scene starts with, this is also the first time I think that we see somebody reoccur, because Ken Marino was the doctor who came to see the guy stuck in the ground.
Yes, and he diagnosed him.
Basically. So I didn't know necessarily that the doctor in this was definitely going to be Ken Marino again, but just when they showed these bloody hands tying a shoe at the very start of this thing, I was like, that's Ken Marino. And then it was.
Yeah.
He plays not. I mean, I don't know. I guess I know him from Children's Hospital too. So I just picture him as a doctor all the time. and he plays a doctor through this entire thing.
He was in what's it called? Yeah, well, in when he was in Party Down. Obviously,
that was a doctor,
not a doctor. And then what happened in American Summer? That was also his classic character.
Yes,
his curly hair.
I enjoy Ken Marino. I enjoy most of the guys in this. though I've never watched Stella or The State. And I feel like maybe I shouldn't after watching this. Because if it's this kind of stuff, I don't think I'm into it. But we'll see. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, so that goof thing was fairly funny.
They okay. Just, what? So that's the one. Oh, okay. Thou shall not murder. That was funny.
Okay. All right. One funny part.
The next one, which is, this was weird. I didn't even understand the point of this one.
Was this the covet the neighbors?
No, oh. Honor thy mother and father, which is like the black twins.
Oh, this one was weird.
Born to like white parents. And then the mother eventually admits that the father is Arsenio Hall.
Right.
And then,
she
thought it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. But she couldn't get Arnold to say that it was him. So she got an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonator played by Oliver Platt to come
right.
And bond with the children. And the children realized, you know, there still wasn't, you know, his father in any way.
Yeah.
The mother was like, okay, it's actually Arsenio Hall.
I think she was like, oh yeah, I forgot.
It Arsenio Hall. And then Oliver Platt's like, well, I can't do Arsenio, but I can do Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Impersonation. So yeah. He's doing Eddie Murphy. And then the twins at the end were like, you know, that's okay that, you know, I can't even.
Yeah, they gave some speech about, like, sometimes you discover that the guy who's a Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonator that's trying to be your dad or something is, like, the role model you need mm-hmm. in your life or something yeah. like that. Yeah, that one wasn't good.
No.
No.
And the next one is Thou Shalt Not Covet Thy Neighbor's Goods.
That was the one where.
Cat's scans.
Yeah. Again, names that I can't remember. Joe Latruglio. He's getting a CAT scan machine delivered to his house, and his neighbor,
Liev Schreiber,
sees that and is like, I need one. And then of course, Joe Latruglio needs a second one to one-up him, and then they just keep one-upping each other, yeah, and their houses are covered in CAT scans.
They lose their families, but they have their CAT scans machines everywhere.
Yeah. And then radiation hits
75 children.
Yes, and they need the CAT scan machines, but the neighbors have now gone out to a bar together
to drink beer
and sing Something to Talk About.
Yeah, oh yeah,
that was the best was part.
Yeah,
I love Joe Latruglio anyway.
Yeah, when he's on when he puts it on, he's so confident when he walks over. He's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, something to talk about. So yeah, they sang that together, and then they discovered on the news that they were the reason that all those children died, because they would have somehow been saved if they'd been able to access
one of their children.
Right. Yeah. One guy, Liev Schreiber's son.
I think that guy was Axel in that show that's not on anymore, like a family
Which
sitcom.
Show?
It was a family sitcom, and he was the son. His name was Axel.
Wow.
That's all I got.
All he said was that show that's not on anymore. I'm like, what? What show is that? Okay.
Descriptive enough.
If I could find the sun on IMDb. Sorry, I keep moving away from the microphone because I'm constantly looking at this giant list of people that are in this movie.
Whew. Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis is in it too, by the way. He was the husband of the... a woman who died because of the goof. Wow. That took me a long time to get out.
Oh, the goof.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is just so hard to describe because there's just so many things happening.
There's a lot. Jessica Alba was in it. She was like in the Paul Rudd storyline, which eventually becomes one of the commandments at the end.
Yes. All of that is accurate. She's cheating with Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is married to Famke Janssen.
She's an X-Men.
And there you go. I think she's in some of these. Like, I think she's in Children's Hospital. She's probably in many, something like many the, things. Yeah, the things these guys do.
Yeah.
So
that was the Covet Thy Neighbors, CAT scan machines. And then the next one, the next one is the sixth, the rape prisoner thing, so we'll skip that over.
Oh, we didn't mention that Janine Garofalo's in the CAT scan thing.
Is she?
She's a scientist at the place where the radiation happens, which is probably in power plant or something.
Oh, I missed that.
She's like screaming with
With the kids.
Yeah, like there's a teacher or something there, right? Oh yeah, she's her and the teacher are like screaming about what do we do?
Oh,
well, we need to go to the place. They need a CAT scan. Whatever.
I didn't even
and they're
realize
just, like,
that was
screaming.
Her.
Yeah, that was
weird.
That was. Whoops, Janine Garofalo. So Janine Garofalo back with Winona again, though not in a scene together.
True.
Oh, except for the end.
Oh
the
yeah.
Song. Okay, we'll get to this.
Okay, so the stupid prisoner one, and then we go to Thou Shalt Not Steal.
That's Winona.
And that is the Winona one, and it's disgusting.
Yeah? Okay. Okay, let's discuss it. I probably agree. I just don't remember.
The puppet.
Yeah, it's the puppet. It's the Did puppet. You just find the puppet
no,
disgusting?
The,
or
the relationship with her and the puppet.
Yeah, she's pretty in, she's into a puppet. So she's, I guess, officially now with the news anchor guy, Lewis.
Yes. Charlie's like, what the hell's going on?
They're on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
And they go to see a ventriloquist act, which is just like, why? I don't even know where they were on their honeymoon,
nope.
too. It seemed like dinner theater. It was very terrible.
Winona falls in love
with the puppet. She thinks he's hilarious. He's making very normal ventriloquist type dummy jokes.
Yep.
But she thinks it's great. And then she steals the puppet.
She steals it. And then she does things to it.
That's true.
I was very disturbed.
Okay. Fair enough.
Covered my eyes.
Okay, so there's a
My
part of this.
Says, ew.
Yeah.
It says, Winona steals it. Ew.
I feel like there's a
she
part.
Drives
she this. Drives. She yeah. does drive in this. She also, she must drive in the first part too, because I wrote she drives in all her segments in this. So somehow she drives in the first part too. The part where she's driving, I think, is really good because she's not in the midst of making out with the puppet, though.
Yes,
maybe
yes.
She kisses him. I don't remember. But you're like, she probably does because she's constantly doing that. But she's just like, I can't. Okay, so I watched the deleted scenes where there's an extended scene of her driving with the puppet.
Oh,
and
dear.
It's the best thing about this movie. Like,
oh, really?
She goes through all these emotions, and there is a part in this like shortened version of that mm-hmm. where at the end she's like covering her face with both her hands while she's driving.
Oh my god.
And she's just like, oh, because she's going through all these emotions. But she goes through so many more emotions in the extended version, and it's just very funny and just, I don't know, shows her skill at going
Maybe
through many different emotions about a puppet.
Maybe it's reflective of that gif of hers.
Yes.
Yeah. The many emotions of Winona.
Yeah. It's of course, as you can tell, midway through, we're not recommending this movie. But if you rent it and get the deleted scenes, that one is good. It's the best thing.
It's fine.
It's worth it.
And then... I don't know. That's it. That's basically the story there. And then the next one is the cartoon one. Thou shall not bear false witness against
right.
thy neighbor.
Yeah, that was about a lion rhino.
The lion rhino.
Which I was confused at first because I thought they were saying lion rhino. So I thought it was going to be a rhino that was a lion
yeah.
in some way. But it was a lying rhino.
Oh, lion.
Which I came to understand. I wrote lion too and then changed it to lion because it was about him lying. I liked that one to some degree. I don't remember if something
fine.
Disgusting
so
happened.
So it was like, so Winona steals the puppet. So the ventriloquist ends up becoming a drug addict, obviously.
That's right.
And that's when the scene starts. Him asking for more drugs and learning about why a certain drug was called the lion rhino.
Yeah. I liked the cartoon. I thought I enjoyed the animation after was last. Yeah.
Was
last
that
week
Bob's
was
Burger's voice?
Yes. It was H. John Benjamin.
Okay.
So that was also enjoyable. But like I said, I liked the look of the animation, which is important. Not rotoscoping.
Yes.
Good, fun animation of fun animals
mm-hmm.
hanging
mm-hmm.
out in the streets of, I don't know if it's New York. It's like a, you know, city, an urban environment with animals in it. I wrote nothing other than I love the drawings.
Yeah, it flowed nicely. Like I paid attention. I, it was good.
Yeah. I don't remember. What happened to the rhino? Do you? He lied.
He lied.
Bad things happened. Well, okay, maybe this part was gross.
Yeah.
He was lying and people believed him for a while and then figured out he was lying. It's very much the boy who cried wolf kind of story. Exactly. And then at the end he hears, what were they? Oh, a bunch of wiener dogs, I think.
Oh, the wiener dogs, yes.
He hears a bunch of them saying that they're going to have an orgy and they're going to spread some disease that they have.
And kill everybody.
And kill everybody. And he goes and tells everybody don't have sex with the wiener dogs because they're going to give you a disease and you'll die. And they're like, why should we believe you? And then they come and they have sex with them and everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wiener dog orgy with other animals. So there's that. Which is very on par with the kind of comedy of this, like the many, not that this was rape, but like, you know, the them going at like seeing how far they can push it. You know what I mean? Like lots of that type of stuff.
Yeah. The cartoon wiener dog orgy was visually a lot.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was like the gross, it was gross animation
animals.
Stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
The next one is Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery.
And this is the Woody Allen kind of takeoff thing.
Allen, yeah. And then
with Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd's married to Diane Wiest in it.
Yeah.
But you know,
he just mentions
that
he is.
But he just mentions that, and he calls her, and she's very understanding.
Yeah, that he wants to get back with his old wife.
It's basically shot like a Woody Allen film, this one skit. And it's obviously it's about adultery and getting back with your wife and, you know.
Yeah, that one's okay. I guess. It was fine.
It was fine.
It was what it was.
The gold fly a kite. That I thought that was funny. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. At the beginning when they were fighting, or one of the midsection parts.
Paul Rudd tells her to go fly a kite. And she's
like, don't say it. Yeah. And he's like, fly a kite. And she's like, oh.
Yeah. But then later in this scene, he mentions that like, oh, sorry, I said that because, you know, of your brother.
And what happened with the kites or something like that.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Leave it to your imagination, which I like those kind of jokes. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last commandment was thou shall honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Oh, the naked dudes.
Oh, yeah. They sang a song. I think that was fun.
Yeah. Just a bunch of guys hanging out naked together on Sundays.
And not wanting to go to church. That was their alternative to going to
church. It was Roberta Flack. They were really
feeling. That's true. They really liked Roberta Flack, so they'd listen to her and be naked together.
Yeah.
That was all right. That one wasn't worst. It wasn't one of the worst ones.
And I think this is like a thing with these movies, but they ended in a song.
Yes.
Group sing-along.
Yep.
Which reminded me of the ends of, have you ever seen Strangers with Candy, Amy Sedaris' show?
I've watched one episode.
So they all end in a song. Okay. Every episode ends in a song. So it kind of reminded me of that. Like the cast just sings together and in their characters, kind of.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. I enjoy that kind of thing. I'm into it.
Yeah, I don't remember the song exactly, but
I don't like the song in this movie. I don't remember it either.
No.
But I feel like it was like, oh, okay, this part's fun. If only the rest of the movie had been good, I would have been like more into this. Winona is very much her like John Spencer rock star.
Yeah.
And I think Paul Rudd sings with her in the microphone, so they have a moment together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Certainly not all of those actors are in the same room. They are very much spliced into the video together. Particularly when they do the like wide shot of everybody, it's like, no, they're not all there. which is whatever. It's fine.
That's okay. And that was that movie.
Mm-hmm. That was that movie.
That was that movie.
Best thing was a deleted scene, I would say. Of Winona, though, so, you know. I don't know. Like, I feel like I understand maybe why she did this. I don't know. I wouldn't even say they were up and coming. They'd done a bunch of stuff by this point. They were like the edgy comedians of the time.
The whole script when they signed on to it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she only read her parts.
Yeah, and didn't know about the prison thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
So Chris investigated and read that Winona signed on to this without reading it, and that she just liked David Wayne in Wet Hot American Summer, which I fully understand that that's why she would have
signed on to
this.
I get it, but I would still be cautionary when, you know, I don't know. But I guess she doesn't really care. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? She called someone a homo in this, so that was another part that was just like, oh, why, Winona?
Don't you dare.
I think it was the ventriloquist. Like, oh, that she that's called right. him that when she was stealing his,
yeah,
the dummy. So, yeah, there was lots of bad things going on in this, but there was some laughs. Oh, one thing that I wrote down that I enjoyed was juicing my pecs. Do you remember?
I wrote that down too, actually. Pec juice.
Pec juice. That was just of course, it was a Paul Rudd joke. Yeah. Just, you know, him just with his repetitive stuff.
He was just rambling on about.
Just kept saying juicing my pecs. And then somebody said it, I think maybe Ken Marino, when he was like working out in
prison yard.
Juice
in my pecs.
Yes. So that was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I have, number three, like, pec juice written down.
That kind of thing I like. I liked the trailer for this because at the end of the trailer, which is narrated by Paul Rudd, he starts saying the names of all the people who are in it and then devolves into like not saying words. Like he's just making sounds for each person's name, which is, of course, Paul Rudd enjoyable moments. So. Yeah. So, yeah, I still, another one that I had hopes for and that I shouldn't have. I should have known.
No.
I should have known I'd never heard of this because it wasn't good. But
alas.
I hoped it was just, you know, went under the radar.
Good, way, good way one. Under. Way, way under that radar.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll see if I can find that deleted scene just like hanging out on YouTube and I'll just share it so that nobody has to rent this movie.
Oh, one thing I wanted to... We were talking about Winona and her driving. I remember reading an article in the 90s and it was about the, you know, the writer met up with her and said like, oh, she was driving this old, you know, old man kind of Mercedes and it was like dented. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of gave you a little indication of what kind of driver Winona is.
Right, right, right. Perhaps. I picture that. Yeah.
Dented Mercedes.
Sweet.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. Little trivia.
Nice.
What do we got next?
Is it one you've seen or heard of?
Oh, wait.
I thought that was an O, like you weren't.
Oh, yes. It is it's Sex and Death 101 is next. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, and this is one that I remember early on you said was bad and you got rid of it.
Yeah, I used to have it on DVD, but then I was like, why would I need to rewatch this? And here we are.
Is this like the 10 in that it's parts or is it just one big story?
Oh, it's one big story.
Okay. There's something about the title of it that just makes me feel like it's going to be like an anthology movie.
It kind of is because there's just, it's that guy, Simon. Is Patton Oswalt in it? Oh, he is. Well, I haven't seen this since 12 years probably.
Okay.
10 years. Something like that.
Giving it another go.
But the main guy, Simon Baker, he's the main guy and there's a lot of him in it. That's all I'll say about that. Oh, and Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life is in it.
Oh.
Natalie.
Nice.
Shout out to Natalie.
Okay. How much is Winona in this that you remember?
She's a big part of it.
Okay, that's all right. That's good. We get more Winona because we
Bigger
haven't had
part of
a lot, a lot of her recently. She's been a bit player in most of them. I should mention before we go that Soraya, who was on one of our episodes, wrote an article about Reality Bites and the, oh gosh, I don't remember the name of the writer who wrote it.
I don't know the name of the writer, but I saw her article,
and I noticed that Ben Stiller shared it recently.
Oh my God.
So on everybody's radar. So I also shared it on Twitter and on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to check it out, I think it was in The Atlantic.
If Ben Stiller shared it, that's like
that. But yeah, you can find it from me or Ben Stiller.
That's like very you know, easy. How many degrees to Winona right there?
I know.
It's very close.
If only Winona was on social media. But yeah. So
Ben Stiller, if you're listening, tell Winona.
That's all I'll say. There we go. Tell her about that article.
I don't think he's
in our podcast. But he read the article. Gave it a shout out. Yeah, so that's congrats to Soraya for that article. Cool. All right. Sex and Death next time. Thank you. next Winona Wednesday. Let's see if we can pick up the the quality.
Ooh, I don't know about that. But
one of these days. One of these days.
Someday.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.